You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This Thursday edition of Locked On Jets is brought to you by MyBookie.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON at MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Thanks for tuning in today. This is the Locked On Jets podcast. I'm John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe to it. Your options include iTunes and Spotify, and please leave the show a good review. It is Thursday of the Jets bye week, and it is Mailbag Thursday, where we take your questions from the comment section of GangreneNation.com and through email. And our first question was emailed to me. Throughout the offseason on the Locked On Jets podcast, you had a detailed breakdown of Jets positional groups, offensive line, secondary, linebackers, etc. What positional groups do you consider to be most improved? What group needs the most work? Well, I think in terms of most improved, that would pretty clearly be the safety position, both in terms of short run and long run. I think heading into last season, there was some question about the long-term viability of the safety position. Maybe you were confident about Calvin Pryor, who was still young, but Marcus Gilchrist was not a guy who was probably going to be a long-term player for the Jets. And what we found out was Calvin Pryor wasn't even going to be a short-term player for the Jets, and neither was Gilchrist. The safety position was really bad last year for the Jets. And it's one of the things I think kind of flew under the radar because you had so many big money, big name players underperforming that people kind of lost track of how much the safety position hurt the Jets last year. How many breakdowns were because the safety wasn't communicating with something, the safety was misreading a play, taking a bad angle. And the Jets have allowed big plays this year, but it really has not been, when it has happened, it has not really been due to a breakdown in the safety position. The Jets really solidified the position by going safety in round one and round two, I think. I think Jamal Adams and Marcus May have both done a very good job, both done very good jobs as rookies. So I think that's the position that's the most improved. And the other thing about that position is that you're set up for the long term now. If all goes well, these guys stay healthy, you probably don't have to worry about the safety position again for a long time. And really, that's what the draft's about. It's about finding good players. It's about preventing needs from occurring. Now, in terms of what needs work, I mean, I think almost everything else. I mean, there really are not many positions where I think the Jets are set up long term. And I know this team has overachieved somewhat to get to 4-6, but this is not a 4-6 where the Jets are flourishing at a number of positions. I mean, there are lots of positions in need, but I think quarterback's the obvious one. I mean, we know the Jets need to find a long term solution at quarterback. Josh McCown's play is a topic of great debate, but I mean, heck, even if you're the biggest McCown fan in the world, you know that he's 38 years old. You know, this is not a guy who's going to be quarterbacking this team in 2 to 3 years. So, you know, quarterback's obvious. I like offensive line, though. If you look at the way the offensive line has really become a problem for this team, and it was one of those things I saw early in the year. I saw that there were issues on the line, and man, it has really shown its head the last few weeks. It's very difficult to win. You can do it if you have, you know, great skill players, if you have a quarterback who really knows how to maneuver within the pocket, how to get his team in the right plays. You can maybe weather the storm without an offensive line, but man, it makes it a lot tougher when you cannot win in the trenches, and that's really the position the Jets find themselves in these days. So if quarterback is not an option for me, I'm probably going offensive line because the Jets have really had issues in the trenches these last few weeks, and it's not a coincidence that they've seen their winning streak go by the wayside when this offensive line has really become an issue. And heck, maybe you like Brandon Schell. I think there are even questions about him, but outside of that, I mean, what do you have? Beecham. Beecham's playing okay, but I think that's a position that could use an upgrade. Carpenter has been down this year. Wesley Johnson and Winters are looking like guys who are not going to be pieces of this team in the long run. Which actually brings us to our next question. How is Wesley Johnson allowed to continue? How in the world can we have no one on the roster and the entire NFL or off the street can't come in and immediately replace Wesley Johnson? How is this even allowed? How is the thing even allowing him to play, allowing him to affect the whole offensive line? Hindsight may be 20/20, but Johnson is the last ranked center on Pro Football Focus. Heck, he's 37th on the list, and there are only 32 teams in the league. So we have a listener who is very fired up about Wesley Johnson, and I think with good reason. I mean, the center plays really hurt this team this year. Center is one of those positions that I think you lose track of how important it is until you don't have a guy. And that's the issue with the Jets right now. I mean, you look at how many times they're in the wrong blocking scheme because they've misread the front pre-snap. It goes beyond that. Johnson just, I mean, he's getting blown off the ball. He can't hit the block. There are just issues here. Now, at the risk, the next thing I'm going to say, there's always the risk that you're overestimating the quality of your coaching staff, because coaching staffs do make mistakes. But something you have to remember here is the Jets could replace Wesley Johnson, but the guys who are behind him on the depth chart right now, the Jets took a look at them in preseason and said, you know what? These guys aren't as good as Wesley Johnson. And that's why Wesley Johnson's starting. I think that you can replace him. And honestly, his play has been poor enough that I think you would be justified in making a change just for the sake of making a change, trying to mix things up a little bit, trying to find a new mix on the offensive line. I think you'd be justified because things have gotten to that point. But I don't know that you're necessarily going to see an increase in caliber. I don't think the Jets have a guy on the roster, and certainly you're not going to find a guy off the street who's going to go in and play quality center. You're probably going to get a guy who's going to play very, very low caliber football, probably just as low, if you know, not lower than Johnson. And even if you find a guy who can marginally improve, it's not going to make a big difference. I just don't see where you can go. I don't see the guy on this team who's going to go. I mean, you could change from Johnson, but I don't know that you're necessarily looking at an appreciable increase in quality. And I think that that's your issue right here. And it's one of the things you have to remember is that most of the time, you set your team in free agency, you know, those couple weeks in March and maybe probably the first 2 days of the draft. Those are the avenues by which you can improve your team. And the team you have coming out of the draft, you know, sometimes you get lucky, but you can't count on making changes after the draft. Maybe you fall into something lucky, but it's just not something you can count on. By the time the draft's over, you've got your team. For better or worse, the decisions you've made will either help your team sink or swim. And the Jets made a decision with Johnson. And I don't want to get too hard on the Jets because they've made some decisions that have worked out. But that's one that clearly has not worked out. It was a decision they made in the offseason. And the offseason kind of sunk their offensive line because they made a bad call on Wesley Johnson. You know, since we started this podcast, people have asked for advice. Sometimes it's what team's going to win that weekend. Patriots or Steelers, Chicago or Detroit. Well, where you're betting at sometimes is just as important as who you're betting on, so consider going to mybookie.ag if you are so inclined. Mybookie.ag has been in the business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses, so right off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payouts. Seriously, just 2 business days. You know who's going to win, right? Lay down some cash and win big today. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Again, that's the promo code LOCKEDON at MyBookie.ag. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Let's jump into our next question. It deals with Tyrod Taylor. So the Bills are benching Tyrod Taylor for the rookie Steven Peterman. Do you think that this will make the Jets see what they have in their young quarterback sooner, or do you continue to see them spouting out their best chance to win line, which I also believe is Josh McCown? So this questioner believes that Josh McCown gives the Jets the best chance to win, but he wants to know whether the Jets will change it. So question follows, continues. One more loss, though. Why not see what they have, especially if the Bills kid plays well? I know the quarterback thing has been beaten to death, but what are your thoughts when viewing it from this angle? I got to be honest with you. I am not a Tyrod Taylor guy at all, but I don't get what the Bills are doing. The Bills are right in the playoff mix, and I'm not a Tyrod Taylor guy, but he brings skills to the table. The way I view quarterbacks are, you know, you have your legit franchise guys who lift the team up. Then you have at the other end of the spectrum, you have your guys who just sink your team. And then somewhere in the middle, you have guys who have certain skills. And if you tailor your scheme to their skills and work around their weaknesses, they can at least keep your team afloat. I think that's where Taylor sets in. I don't think this kid Peterman's going to play well at all. I think it's a bizarre move by Buffalo, especially right in the middle of the playoff mix. I think the Jets are in a little bit of a different position because the Jets, even though they're marginally in the chase, I don't think that this is a team that really can go anywhere. And again, the Jets are 4-6 right now. So, you know, 4-6, they're probably going to have to, they probably can lose one more game at most. And even then, I think, you know, I feel like 10 wins is really what you need most years to make the playoffs. So I don't think this, but I don't think it's either way. I mean, no matter what I think, I don't think the Jets are going to change their viewpoint. I think the Jets are going to try and keep winning games. That's the way the NFL teams typically operate. So I think the Jets will keep running McCown out there. I think they believe he gives them the best chance to win games. I don't see Buffalo making them reassess what they're doing. I think the Jets have their own plan, and I hope that they're not changing their plan just on a whim because Buffalo is doing something. So I think that this is not going to impact them one bit. I think that you'll see McCown until either he gets hurt, which, I mean, geez, the way this offensive line is playing, I don't know if McCown can last. The offensive line better start playing better, or they may be forced into a decision. Or they may not even have a choice. I should say they may not even have a decision to make. But I think when they fall out of the playoff race, when they're officially eliminated, that's what they did last year. They stuck with Fitzpatrick. Now, again, they did go to Geno. So a little earlier, Geno got hurt. But then after Geno got hurt, they stuck with Fitzpatrick. They did not put Petty in until they were officially eliminated. I think that's the same way they'll go this year. You can like it. You can dislike it. Some people, I mean, this has been a very hotly debated topic. Some people like it. Some people don't. Next question. Earlier in the year, we saw May thriving in a specific role in the defense, but for a little while there, Adams was struggling. Is this because his role has more tasks involved with it? Is it because he is still adapting to different areas like Bowles like to use him? Is May coming off more polished because his role is still, while very important, more simplified? Well, you know, I don't think it's that Adams has a more diverse role. Now, I do agree. I think Adams has more tasks on his plate than May does. I think May primarily plays deep middle. Adams does a lot more. He'll drop into the box. He'll play the run. He'll play zone underneath. He'll play man-to-man. He'll blitz. I mean, they have a lot on Adams' plate. I don't think it's really because they've put that many tasks on his plate, though. I think really, come to think of it, his struggles mainly were in man coverage, which is something that may come. Maybe it won't. But I think Adams is doing fine, though. Heading into this year, if you asked me, I think I probably would have told you I expect Adams to do good but not great because, look, he is a rookie. No matter how decorated you are going into the league, it's an adjustment. It's an adjustment, higher competition, higher level of competition, typically a more complex scheme to figure out, which you alluded to in your question. But I think mainly it's just been he's struggled in man coverage, so it's something that hopefully develops a little bit as he gets more experience. He's had a couple welcome to the NFL moments as a rookie. And that's even really great players have those moments where they get beaten. And so, you know, I'm not necessarily that concerned with Adams. I think it's just one area, and I think it can improve. I mean, I never got the impression he was a bad cover guy in college. It was, you know, there's some guys who you look at college and say, boy, he's really got to develop his cover skills. I thought Adams was a pretty solid guy in coverage. I think once he gets used to the speed, the skill, the size of NFL guys, you know, I would not be surprised to see him develop. Next question. In 2018, should the Jets, one, draft a quarterback with the first-round pick, possibly trading up if necessary, and devote the free agency salary cap to other positions while signing a veteran quarterback, two, to a team-friendly contract, two, bring in the best available premium free agent quarterback such as Smith, Bridgewater, Cousins, or Tyrod Taylor, and use the first-round pick for the best player available, or three, draft a quarterback in the first round and bring in a premier free agent quarterback? As always, and I will always say this, whenever you throw out a hypothetical with this, the specifics on how the specifics matter. And I may change my mind once I see the actual options in front of me, but you're asking me a hypothetical here. And since you asked it to me, so I'll answer it. I'd go with number one. I don't think that there's a franchise quarterback who's going to be available in free agency. Alex Smith, good quarterback. Kirk Cousins, good quarterback. Tyrod Taylor, solid quarterback. Bridgewater, I like, but, you know, there's the injury scenario with that, the whole injury question with him. I just can't justify the amount of money I think it would take to land these guys. If we're talking, like, legitimate franchise money, I think Cousins in particular. Cousins may end up being one of the highest-paid player in the league once the bidding starts on him. And I don't even think he's a top-10 quarterback. So, I mean, these are guys who all fall, except Bridgewater's a little bit of an exception because he's coming off the injury. But these are guys that I was talking about earlier on the show. They kind of fall in between where they aren't terrible. Like, you can work around it, but I don't want a quarterback to work around. I want a franchise guy who can lift my team up. So I think, look, you got to bring in you got to have a veteran placeholder in there. In case your rookie's not ready to start week one, you don't want to throw him in there before he's ready. I mean, the Jets have made that mistake plenty. They've thrown the rookie in there before he was ready because they did not have a quality veteran stopgap. So you want to bring McCown back, you can look into that. And, you know, you want to look at other guys, you can do that. I think you bring in a quality veteran stopgap, and you got to – and look, I mean, maybe this – maybe it plays out that there's nobody available in the first round, but I'd be looking much harder at a first-round quarterback because I don't think there – I don't think there's a legit franchise guy who's going to be available in free agency. I think there are going to be some okay, solid guys. I don't think there's going to be a guy who can carry a team the way the Jets need, though. And our last question, what would it take for you to say you were satisfied with the Jets' 2017 draft class? Would Adams, May, McGuire playing at their current levels be enough, or would you need to see a sizable contribution from Stewart or Hanson the rest of the way? Do you give Mac a pass for any of the three rookies on injured reserve? See, that last part of the question, I think, kind of brings me to my main point, is that you can't really, you can to some extent, but you have to be flexible as during the draft class's rookie season. You really can't judge a draft class. You can judge it, but you can't judge it definitively as a, for rookies for the rookie year, because you're not, the players you draft, and this is a mistake people make all the time, players you draft, you're not really drafting for that season outside of maybe the first and maybe the second round pick. Anything you get from guys three and beyond as rookies is a bonus. Sometimes you just hit the jackpot, you find a guy who contributed as a rookie third round or later, but usually you can't count on that. That's the reason those guys go in the third round or later, because there are enough flaws in their game that you're not expecting them to contribute as rookies. You always have to be careful. Everybody always loves their draft class year one. And, you know, I think that's because expectations are so low for those guys. I mean, heck, last year you were talking about Justin, everybody was talking about Justin Burris being some standout. Not every, you know what I mean? Not everybody. But, I mean, you heard a lot about Justin Burris being this promising young corner, Brandon Shell playing well near the end of the year. And this year it really hasn't played out that way. Burris has been, I mean, Burris really just has been a disappointment. He really has not grown. Shell has done some decent things, but I think there are questions about his viability going forward. 2 years ago, Lorenzo Maldon, he was, you know, you heard a lot about Lorenzo Maldon, the job he was doing, very limited role, very low expectations. He's been a disappointment third round pick. So you got to be careful before you anoint players too soon. So I don't hold it against them that you have guys on IR. I mean, they're rookies. I don't think they'd be contributing anyway. I think you find out about your draft class going forward, year two and beyond. Now, more to the question you were asking, I don't think it's enough just to have three players. See, the draft class I think about that was probably the best Jets draft class in recent memory was 2006, and, well, you got two really good starters in DeBrickashaw Ferguson and Nick Mangold. But what made that a great class, what separated that from, say, the 2007 class with Darrell Revis and David Harris, was that 2006 class, you think about the guys you took after the first round. And it's not necessarily always that you get starters. They got some good depth players in those later rounds. You know, you talk about Leon Washington, you talk about Brad Smith, talk about Eric Smith, who, you know, Eric Smith kind of got a bad name in Jets fandom because later in his career, they overextended him. They used him as a starter. He was not a starter, but 2009, 2010, he was a good depth guy. He was a good guy in nickel packages. Drew Coleman, you know, a guy who maybe to a lesser extent than the other guys I mentioned, Drew Coleman is a guy who was a contributor. He was a role player on the Jets 2010. You know, you get backups, special teamers, guys who play in sub packages, guys who have more limited roles. These are the guys you need to have. You don't necessarily need all your picks to be starters, but you want to find good depth players. You know, even the guys you draft who aren't good starters, you want them to be good depth players. You don't want them to be zeros. And as much as the biggest issue with the Jets has been they haven't drafted enough star level players. They haven't drafted enough starters, but part of the problem has also been they just haven't drafted enough role players. I mean, when they've missed, they've just been total whiffs. They haven't been guys who have contributed. You know, you need those guys, those Brad Smiths, those Eric Smiths, those Leon Washingtons. So I don't know that the other guys necessarily need to be stars. I think, now look, you hit on your first two picks. It's not a bad draft. Adams and May and, you know, McGuire turns into something. That's not a bad draft, but you want a really, really solid draft. Some of the other guys you picked need to turn into role players, guys, even if they're not three-down players, guys who can contribute something to your team, whether it's special teams, whether it's as a backup, whether it's in a more limited role, specialized role, you know, third down, you know, guy who goes in on third down, something like that. So I think the jury is still out. I think you like the returns. I think you like having two guys who have contributed in a very positive way, and I think you could argue a third. I think McGuire is showing you some skills. So I think I'm very cautiously optimistic on this draft class, but I think, do think you need to see more going forward before you can declare it a total success. And one of those things is some of the other guys, even if they're not starters, just have them turn into role players. Well, thanks again for all your questions. Appreciate them. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. Again, today's episode of Locked On Jets is brought to you by MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Use the promo code LOCKEDON at MyBookie.ag. Hope you have a great Thursday. We'll be back again tomorrow to close out the week.